Let's turn to page 92. It's Tuesday, the 20th of March. Sorry, we don't have any more books. And so please bring your own. Do we have more? Oh, there's one more here. Who needs a book? Okay. If you have one at home, please bring it, okay, because we don't have any more here at church. All right. Jesus meets us where we are. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee in the region of Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be open. And immediately his ears were open, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one, but the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, he has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. Let's read the devotion. This is such an intriguing healing story. Jesus takes the man away from the crowd, puts his fingers in the man's ears, spits, touches the man's tongue, and commands that the man not tell anyone what had happened. Why does Jesus do this? The deaf man couldn't hear Jesus until he was healed. So Jesus communicated in a way the man could understand. I think Jesus gave the man what he needed. Jesus met the man where he was at and communicated in a way that was meaningful. Jesus does the same for us today. The deaf man may have despised his non-working ears and voice, but Christ steps right into this pain to bring healing. We all have parts of ourselves that need God's healing touch, whether physical, emotional, spiritual, or relational. Never underestimate how our compassionate God may step in to meet you where you're at. Amen. This passage is, is actually quite interesting. You know, we see the creative nature in the way Jesus brings healing, you know, especially to this man that was deaf and mute, you know, and there's a lot to be said about, you know, what would Jesus do? We may have been very familiar with this, and I don't know if you, I used to have this bracelet, you know, back in the days. How many of you guys had a WWJD bracelet, right? Or something, a t-shirt, or, okay, you know, only a few guys were quite serious about it, okay? But it was this kind of the movement that was going around, and it was actually very, very healthy. And what the movement was, it was basically called an incarnational message. You know, and what's meant by that is we are being like Christ living in this world. You know, and so the idea was whatever Jesus would do, this is what we're going to do. You know, if Jesus is driving, you know, in Hong Kong, you know, and a taxi driver cuts him off, what would Jesus do? Right? He probably wouldn't, you know, stick his finger out, you know, give the guy a bird or, you know what I mean? You know, and but it's like, you know, what if Jesus is working at wherever you're working at, you know, and someone just backstabs you, Jesus, you know, what would Jesus do? And what it really did is it made people really frame, you know, give a good frame of what their Christian behavior and how they should live their life today, you know, and but if you were presented with this man and he came up to you, let's say, you know, after Sunday service, you guys are part of the well. Let's say someone comes up, you know, to the well and he, you know, this person can't hear, you know, or, you know, can't speak. You know, I'll bet you $1 million that not one of those people that are on the well will ever spit in the guy's mouth, right? Nor, you know, put their fingers in their ear. Right? I mean, that would just be ridiculous. But this is exactly what Jesus did. You know, which goes to make so we have to kind of enlarge our thinking of what Jesus would do in a certain way. You know, I like, this is Pastor Wade from Community Church, and he writes about, you know, in his devotion, he says, well, Jesus communicated to this man who couldn't hear, you know, who couldn't speak in a way that he really could understand. You know, and when I read passages like this, you know, it actually makes me very happy, right? You know, because Jesus wasn't this stiff religious character. You know, he wasn't about rules and regulations that a lot of people, you know, in the world today make Christianity about. He was creative. You know, he was actually a little bit on the weird side, if you think about it, right? I mean, now I don't know how this works, right? And so, you know, I haven't really studied in the original language yet, but you know, he says he put his finger in his ear, right, and then he spit, and then he touched his tongue. So how does that work, right? So his fingers are in the guy's ear, and let's say it's happening in one motion, right? And then he spits, and it hits the guy's tongue. The guy spit in his mouth, basically, right? I mean, that's pretty dirty, you know. Aside from that, have you ever heard the idea of holy spit, right? I mean, this was really holy spit, right? And then the person is totally healed. You know, what I'm trying to say is a lot of times Jesus will work outside of the box. You know, he'll do things to us. And in the scriptures, a lot of religious people, they'll quote, you know, things like 1 Corinthians. It says, God is not a God of confusion, but he's a God of order. You know, and I understand that, right? I mean, it doesn't mean anything goes. But what that passage says to me is God has his order. It doesn't necessarily mean it's our order, you know. And when you think about it, you know, when we come from an orientation of death, anything that has life will seem foreign to us, right? And so, well, how Jesus operates is actually very, very different than the way we operate. You know, case in point, you know, there was a revival that broke out in Toronto. This is years ago. This is actually early on in my Christian life, you know. And there were a lot of really weird, crazy things happening. You know, but yet, in the midst of all the weird, crazy things happening, people were getting healed. You know, it was actually my mentor, his wife, and they had a really difficult marriage, you know, because of many, many different things. You know, and they ended up moving to Toronto, and they went to this church where this revival was happening. It was called the Toronto Blessing. This revival was happening, and she got hit by the Holy Spirit. Right, I mean, she was out on the floor. You know, 2 hours later, she gets up, and can you believe it? Their marriage is totally restored. You know, all the anger, all the bitterness, you know, and in this particular, you know, I mean, they actually lost a child, you know, in the midst of their early years of marriage, you know, and all this stuff, and God, and boom, just like that, right, totally healed her. You know, marriage is restored, life is restored. You know, does God do things? Yeah, he does. He spits in people's mouths, right? He puts his finger in people's ears. You know, he kind of does weird things. But I think in some ways those weird things kind of get our attention. You know, this was a period, especially in North America, when the church was very unhealthy. You know, I mean, it was really in a bad, bad state. We had the crisis of the televangelists. I don't remember if you know back then, these guys were like falling left and right, you know, in excesses of their millions of dollars that they were, you know, misspending, and all these things were happening. And the church was, you know, very bad reputation. And what it seemed like that we would, you know, the church would deserve judgment. Instead, God brings this revival, which is basically the mark of this revival was laughing. You know, and you think this would be a time when people should be crying, but instead people were laughing as they came into the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You know, God, he does different things. You know, and you know, detractors would say, "Oh, that's you know, that's very unorderly." You know, and I listened. I said, "Well, you know what though?" You know, and I went back to Jonathan Edwards, and Edwards probably the greatest American theologian of our time. You know, or any time, you know, Edward says, you know, if a wife beater, drunkard, God hater comes into my meeting, you know, and in hearing of the word and the Holy Spirit grabs his heart and he falls to the ground, he shakes and, you know, does whatever. But when he gets up and he stops beating his wife, he stops cursing at God and he stops drinking, he says, I think that's a work of God, you know, and you'll know them by their fruit, right? You know, and so, you know, all to say, you know, when we come into a time where we don't really understand what God is doing in the natural, don't automatically put that into the category of this cannot be God. You know, don't automatically, you know, put it into the box of, oh, this is demonic or something, because you could very easily be calling light darkness. And so you have to be very, very aware, you know, and be very keen to really understand what God is doing. Because God a lot of times works outside of the box. You know, Wade, Pastor Wade in this passage, you know, he talks about, you know, that there's ways that God can minister to us, you know, in areas where we're hurting, in areas that we're broken, you know, in areas that you know, that a lot of different things going on in and around us, you know. And so we really need to open up our hearts to the Lord that really, really does heal. There's a passage in Psalm 34. And in verse, let's see, let me find it real quick. In verse 18, well, we'll go to 17. The righteous cry and the Lord hears. He delivers them out of all of their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Right, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. You know, or the word is contrite, you know, basically meaning humble. All right, so let's close our eyes today. Could there be an area of your life this morning that maybe is broken in some way? It's not quite working out like you want it to work out. Could there be something that Holy Spirit wants to tug at your heart about this morning? And I just invite you to go before the Lord and allow His creativity, allow His uniqueness to come and minister to you with grace. As Monica leads us in a song of worship, I just want to invite you to go before the Lord and just present anything that's broken. This man, his brokenness was in his deafness and his muteness. We can hear and we can speak, but our brokenness may be in some other way, relationally, financially. Can we also allow Jesus to come and work His beautiful grace in our life that we could also be healed?
Been faithful.
Let's pray this morning for Pastor Wade and his family. Let's pray for his two kids, and let's pray for Community Church right here in Shengwan. Pastor Steve Galtney, let's just ask God to continue to use this church and meet all their needs, and pray that their congregation would just fall deeper and deeper in love with the Lord. Let's just pray for Pastor Wade and Community Church. Let's pray for our community that are broken through illness. Let's pray over all the ones you see on the list of cancer. Pray for the eradication of cells. Pray for our family that's in chemotherapy. Also pray for Harmony's father. There's a bunch of illnesses that have been added on. The Chung's cousin Vincent, who needs a bone marrow transplant. Ashley's friend Dorina, who needs a liver transplant. Let's just really ask God's hand to be with these that are sick, that are, you know, going through a life-threatening diseases and illnesses. And let's ask God's healing hand to come and touch them. Let's pray for our ones that need to be healed, but more importantly, need to be saved. And let's just continue to lift them up. There's a few new ones on there. One particular, Jamie Donaldson's friend Richard, who's got cancer, late stage in the hospital. Let's pray for, as he's opening up to the gospel, let's pray that he would meet Jesus in that place. Let's pray for others that are also sick and ones that are looking for work. Let's pray for God's hand to be with them. Let's go to our mission focus, and let's pray particularly for Hong Kong. The elections are coming up very, very soon, and so we just want a godly leader, regardless of who chose them, to come into office here. And let's pray over the whole process, and you know that people would really think about morality and God, and you know, and these type of things. You know, even in this process, there's so much stuff in the you know, in the newspapers. Let's pray for China. Let's pray for our church plan in Beijing. Let's also pray that we're sending a mission team this April, and really pray for a few of our Cascade members to have their schedules opened up or favor and work, and so they can go out on this trip. Right now, we only have one person signed up from Cascade, and so let's just pray for open door for the rest of them. Let's pray for the Chung family, Matt and Nate's parents, the Basarabas, the Leanne, the kids in Chichar, the government, and the churches. And let's just lift up China and ask God's grace to just breathe over this whole nation. Let's pray. Let's pray for our church staff, our board, and our missions committee. Let's ask God to protect all the families, and that each person, as they serve, would serve with a pure heart and really give their best to God in whatever they do. And let's just lift up our leaders. Let's pray for Pastor Selamat and the Indonesian ministry, and also the Korean church. Let's pray that these ministries would just really honor God in everything they do. Let's pray for our house churches that are meeting tonight, Lan Kwai Fong, Old Peak, Harborside, Seymour, and Star Street. Let's pray, especially as some of the house churches are going to multiply soon, that you know, they just be led by the Holy Spirit. And tonight in the meetings, that they would just really draw near and really continue to be stirred with a passion to pray. And let's lift up. Father, we thank you, God, for the miracle, God, of healing this man. Lord, in the midst of his pain, God, in the midst of his troubles, Lord, that you stepped right in, God, and you literally touched, God, what was hurting. Lord, I know many of us are here this morning, Lord, and in our community, God, that are hurting because of many different things, God. And we ask you to come and literally touch, God, those areas where we hurt, where we have pain, God, where there is anguish or worry, God. We pray that you would come and with your grace, God, just minister effectively, Lord, over our lives, God. We thank you that you're so creative, God. You're so full of wonder, Lord, that you're wonderful. We thank you. Lord, watch over us the rest of this day, God, and help us to focus, God, on just the wonder of who you are. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great, great day today, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.